Throughout the summer, we're reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, and I think the people that put together the lectionary for us did this on purpose, because Romans is pretty heavy stuff. There's a lot of theology going on in here. It's a lot to think about. And here we are in the middle of the summer. The people who put the lectionary together knew that someone who showed up at church today in the middle of the summer, they were going to be hardcore. They're going to be ready for this stuff. So, we've been thinking about Romans, and there's a lot in there. Stick with me, though. It's really worth thinking about. It's worth, if we ever get, ever, another rainy day, crack open a Bible in a modern translation and read once through the letter to the Romans. Then go back and read it again, because you're not going to get it all the first time. This letter is Paul's senior thesis. This is Paul's masterpiece. This is the culmination of his life of teaching and evangelism. And in this letter, Paul is bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ right into the heart of enemy territory, right into the heart of the Roman Empire, right into the middle of a cruel empire that demands utter loyalty and complete obedience and ruthlessly crushes anything that stands in its way. Right into the front yard of an emperor who calls himself the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who rules by intimidation and force and oppression of those who are different. And into this place, Paul speaks about a whole new kind of community, a whole different way of being, not centered on a powerful emperor, but on Jesus and Him crucified, a community that embraces others rather than conquering them. A community glued together by forgiveness and reconciliation and love rather than dominance and arrogance and fear. It's a whole new thing. And Paul's speaking this into the middle of Rome. Now, it's all really, really inspiring stuff. But if you've been listening for the last couple of weeks as we've made our way through the 8th chapter of this letter, you may have noticed something. You may have noticed a word. You may have noticed that there's quite a bit of groaning going on. A couple of weeks ago, Paul says, all creation is groaning to be set free from its bondage to sin and decay. A week after that, we ourselves groan inwardly while we wait for our redemption. This week, the Holy Spirit joins in, helping us to pray in our hearts with groans too deep for words. The NRSV, our translation, says sighs, but it's really groans. It's the same word. So our deep biblical question this morning is, what's up with all the groaning? It might not strike us as a particularly inspiring word, but it's extremely important for Paul and for his Jewish readers and for anyone who embraces the story of Scripture. Let your mind go back. Let your mind go back to Egypt and the Exodus. When Israel was in slavery under Pharaoh, what did they do? They groaned, same word. When Pharaoh forced them to make bricks without straw, what did they do? They groaned, same word. They groaned for freedom. They groaned for dignity. They groaned for God to step into the situation and liberate them. And we know what happened. And Paul takes up this word. And he writes to a little beleaguered Christian community in the heart of Rome, some people who are doing some groaning of their own. They're groaning under persecution. They're groaning under the weight of suspicion and fear that threatens to divide their little community before it can even start growing, threatens to divide them into the categories of the world, Jew from Gentile, slave from free, Roman from barbarian, rich from poor. They're groaning. They're groaning under the human stuff that we all share, stuff that comes into our lives, loss and doubt and fear. And into that, Paul announces a new Exodus. Exodus 2, it's back and better than ever. Paul announces new freedom. Paul announces new liberation. And it's all-encompassing. It's liberation from the tyranny of emperors. Caesar doesn't really have all the power he thinks he has. There's one Lord of Lords, and it ain't him, and we don't need to be scared of him ever. Freedom from those feelings of pointlessness or futility as the Roman Church tries to grow and has trouble with it. Yes, Paul says, yes, the world can look chaotic and absurd sometimes. But all things are moving towards the good for those who love God, because God has a big plan. God has a big plan to bring His people back to Himself, and God's plan will not be denied. All things are moving towards good, whatever it looks like. And in those powerful words at the end of today's reading, words that you might remember from maybe funerals, this is a reading we use in that setting. In those final powerful words, Paul announces the greatest act of liberation of them all. Liberation from fear. Liberation from anxiousness. Liberation especially from the deepest fear of all of them, the fear of being abandoned and left on our own. Think of it. In my heart, and I bet in yours, because our hearts aren't all that different, in my heart, and I bet in yours, abandonment is the granddaddy of all fears. It's the big kahuna of our anxiousness. When I was a little boy in Montreal, our house had a basement, which I found fascinating and scary at the same time, especially the furnace, which had this strange way of making big noises at random times. I didn't like going down there, but I sort of liked going down there. It was fascinating and scary at the same time. I also very vividly remember a recurring dream that I had about my father going down the basement steps into this mysterious place and just disappearing. I didn't like that dream. But you don't need a PhD in psychology to understand what that's about. It's all about fear of being abandoned. I was in fear of being abandoned by my dad, my gentle, fun, loving dad, who I loved with all my little heart. And I told my parents this dream, and my wise father looked at me and said, "I'm not going anywhere." That's the fear that Paul addresses. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing we do, nothing anyone else does. No matter what happens, God's not going anywhere. Once we surrender to the love of God shown in Jesus, once we crack open our hearts and open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, nothing, nothing separates us from God. If the Roman emperor persecutes us, does that mean God's gone away? No, God's not going anywhere. If my friends abandon me because I've joined this Jesus movement, does that mean I'm on my own? No, God's not going anywhere. If I sin or get scared, will God give up on me? No. Paul says, God's not going anywhere. One of the places we really claim this truth is in our baptismal service that we're celebrating today. There's a part called the Renunciations and Affirmations. It's on page 302, and we'll get to it in just a couple minutes. But here we acknowledge some truths. Here we acknowledge that there are forces in the universe that rebel against God. We recognize that there are powers in this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. We admit that there are sinful desires in our own hearts that draw us away from God. And at this point in the service, if we just stopped right there, we might be tempted to just groan a little bit. But then we remember. We remember that Christ sets us free from all that. All we have to do is to turn to Him and trust Him and ask Him to lead us and then follow Him. Our baptismal service tells us the same thing Paul tells us. Yes, there are things out there that we need to renounce. Yes, there are things out there that rebel against God, but God's not going anywhere. And that's so simple, and we've all heard it before, but it's also kind of hard to get into our bones sometimes. But if we can know that, way down deep inside ourselves, nothing separates us from God. If we can wake up and remember that first thing every morning, if that can be the core of who we are, then things change. Knowing God will never, ever abandon us or give up on us. It doesn't get us around life's challenges, but it gets us through them. No matter what, Paul says, no matter what it looks like, little church in Rome, no matter what it looks like here in the 21st century, no matter what, Paul says, we're more than conquerors. Nothing can stand up to us. No matter what, Paul says. God's with us and He's not going anywhere. In Jesus' name, Amen.